Hey, welcome to the Chess Experience. On this show, it's all about helping adult improvers. I want to make learning chess easier for you to navigate, and I also want you to have a more fun experience along the way. I'm your host, Daniel Lona, a fellow chess amateur. Let's get to it. This show is sponsored by chess.com, the world's largest chess community. And there's a really exciting and new release from chess.com that I've enjoyed using. It's called Classroom. This feature allows you to easily go over a game live with a friend or a club member that you just played. And you can do so interactively on the board with both of you on video talking to each other. It's also a great way to have a lesson between a student and a coach. And you can check that out on chess.com/classroom. Hey, welcome to this week's show. I haven't done a solo episode for a while. I certainly haven't done one where I shared my own lessons that I've learned along the way in my journey since the very beginning and launch of this podcast. But my thinking is to have one of these episodes every 3 months or so, where I update you on my own chess journey, and I will share with you the lessons and insights that I've had along the way, and challenges that I've had too. And hopefully in sharing an episode like that, one, it would just be entertaining, right, to hear someone else's journey and someone you kind of know a bit from me hosting this show. And then second, that you actually just learn. Well, you learn from whatever insights and lessons I've gained. Maybe you gain sort of your own new perspectives and insights just by hearing about my challenges and how I'm managing them. So that would be the purpose of that type of episode. I plan to do it every few months or so, starting with this one, provided that the feedback I get for it is good, that people enjoy listening to me share my thoughts for maybe a half hour or so. And that enough people actually listen to those episodes. So in this episode today, I'm going to share a few things with you. One is the subject of a rating plateau, which I have had to deal with myself lately. I know I did an episode on that not too long ago with Anamaya, but here you'll get to just hear my own story on how I'm dealing with that. Also, I'll talk about changing your openings, which is something that I have done recently in a big way. And then finally, just what lessons I've learned from my own coaches over the past few months. Before I dive into that, I just want to take 30 seconds to explain my own chess background really quick, just in case this is the first or one of the first few episodes you've heard of this show and heard from me, and you don't really know much about me. So for any of you who don't know a lot about my story, you know, I did chess when I was younger, a little bit competitively as well. I returned to chess a year and a half ago. And since then, I basically study and play for about 3 hours a day. I'm very serious about my chess improvement. I love it. And my goal ultimately is to get to at least 1800 USCF. My current USCF rating is, for several reasons, a bit underrated. My coaches estimate my true USCF strength to be about 1400, though, and I think that's accurate. My chess.com rapid rating is 1500 to 1550. In that range. And I know that I'd said rapid, but that's actually a true classical rating for me because I only play classical games in the rapid category on chess.com just because they don't have a classical category. Okay, let's start with some news in my chess journey. First, I am now being coached by international master Andras Toth. And this is a great, great privilege because I consider him to be one of the absolute best coaches on the planet. Especially amongst those that we just kind of know of because they put out content out there and things like that. He is a phenomenal chess instructor. And here's why this might be relevant for you, which is that our lessons are going to be posted on his YouTube channel. And he's already posted one at the time of this recording. There will be many more to come soon. So you get a chance to listen to my lessons with him and watch the coaching that we do. And I think this will be really beneficial for you if you're anywhere within a few hundred points of my rating, especially because he teaches in such a great way that he provides insights and value to you, even though you're not he's not going over your games. Just the stuff that he brings up in my own games as we evaluate them, I think is relevant for so many chess adult improvers. So definitely check those out. And it's just really exciting to be able to work with him, and I'm sure it's going to have a huge impact on my game going forward. So that's an exciting new update that I have. And some of the things that I've already learned from Andres, I will bring up throughout this episode. So the more to come on that in just a few minutes. And I am still simultaneously working with National Master Dan Heisman as my coach as well. So I'm working with both Andres and Dan, just in case you were curious about that. Okay, the other significant chess news that I have from my own journey, and I think some of the lessons that I've gained in that will be relevant, could be relevant for you as well, is that I have switched from playing the French defense as my only opening against 1e4 to the Sicilian. Now, switching a major opening like that might not be a big deal for some people, depending on how you approach the game. But for me, it's been a really big deal because, you see, I've played the French for about 15 months now. I chose it as my response to 1e4 just a few months after returning to chess after many years away. So by playing it exclusively against 1e4, I've had the chance to get, you know, pretty proficient with the French and learn a lot about it and be ready for lots of different scenarios within the French. And so letting it go is kind of a big deal for me. But you see, when I chose the French over a year ago, I didn't really understand much about different playing styles at that time. I was just choosing amongst openings that, one, had a reputation for being very solid and, you know, just reliable. Like it's a classic. It's always going to be something that you can play. So that's one reason I chose the French. The other reason I chose it was that I read, and we could debate this, but I read that it didn't require quite as much opening theory as some other openings might require you to learn. I'm not sure whether that really ended up being true or not, but in any case, those were the reasons that I chose it. I didn't really understand what kind of style of play that I was getting myself into, and I stuck with it for a long time because, one, I was fine with it for the most part for a long, long time. I mean, I didn't mind playing it, and I got decent results. I think my win rate with the French was maybe 50 to 55%. So, you know, pretty good. It's not like it was a problematic opening for me in that way, like where I was losing a lot with it. But in recent months, I've started to develop more of style preferences in chess and a preference towards more open tactical positions. I find them more exciting. I find they play a little bit more to my strengths. And I just got tired of playing slow, maneuvering, closed positions. They were less dynamic and exciting to me, especially once, like, as white, I started playing the Evans Gambit. And that was just wild and fun. And I noticed a huge contrast where, you know, with the types of positions and the types of games that I was getting when I played the French, it really felt like the opposite of that. And so knowing that I could have these more dynamic positions, I think started to have the French be less interesting for me. And so I was already in that space, that headspace about it, and kind of looking for a potential new opening. Although I was really reluctant to give up over a year of learning that I had acquired with the French and just start over with a new one. So that kind of scared me. But in my coaching with Andres, he suggested that I not play the French and play something, as I was talking about, more open, more tactical. So that kind of solidified it for me. But maybe you've been in a similar place. Maybe you've been playing an opening for a long time now, at least, you know, several months, maybe longer, and you're looking for a new one. And I know this is like one of the most heated subjects in chess, right? Like, when and why should you change your opening? Well, I'm not going to try to give a definitive answer on that. In fact, I'm going to kind of pass the baton to my two coaches on this, who I found very helpful in that kind of process of trying to figure out whether you should change your opening, and if so, what direction should you go in? Okay, so I have two videos for you that I recommend, both from my coaches. The first is from National Master Dan Heisman. He has a video called Selecting an Opening Repertoire. So if you go on YouTube and just type in Dan Heisman and selecting an opening repertoire, you'll find it. And I'll also put the link to that in the show notes for this episode. It's a really great episode where he gives you 7 criteria or factors to consider when thinking about whether to change your opening. And it really helped me just feel like, yes, this is the right decision for me. This is something I should pursue. And he argues in that one that perhaps the most important criteria in choosing an opening is the fun factor, basically. Like, do you think you'll enjoy playing it? And that really resonated with me because it made me realize that over the past several months, I just wasn't enjoying playing the French anymore. I would I don't want to say dread it, but I would very much not look forward to it. And it happened all the time, right? Because how many times do you think as black, my opponent would open with 1e4, right? And I would just go, ugh, you know, because I just knew it was just going to be, you know, slow and probably not a very exciting game. And that's actually the main reason I'm switching my opening. I don't have any delusions that my rating will go up 500 points or something just because I switched from the French to the Sicilian. Although I'm sure, you know, a few people might want to make a joke there. But the reality is I don't expect like a huge increase in my rating. In fact, I know that to start, it'll go down some as I have to learn, you know, all there is to learn when playing the Sicilian now. But over time, I think it will play a little bit more to my strengths, and that once I get that familiarity and grasp, I might see 50 to 100 points increase. I think that's reasonable, but I'm not doing it to try to change the game on my chess abilities or anything. I know that that's not what it's going to do. The main reason I'm switching is because I just want to enjoy my games more, and I don't know the exact percentage, but it feels like maybe 30 to 40% of all games that I play in chess are against 1e4, and so, you know, I feel like having a response to that I can be excited about will be a real big difference maker for me. And I think the irony is that, you know, the idea that, you know, and Dan Heisman makes this great point in the video, is that like, you don't like leapfrog hundreds and hundreds of points just because you change your opening. But I would argue though, that just having an enthusiasm for the game will probably help you get better, right? Like if you're excited to play, you'll probably do better than if you weren't excited to play. So in that sense, I think, you know, just sparking some more enthusiasm for the games that I have will make a difference. So that's the main reason that I'm doing it. And Dan speaks to that in that video. He also speaks to 6 other criteria that you should consider. And I think those are important too. So I would definitely check out his video on that if you're curious about potentially switching your openings. It's a phenomenal video on what to think about before you do. The second video I recommend, no surprise, is from Andras Toth. And his video is titled How to Choose Opening Lines. And I like pairing it with Dan's video because it's a bit different. His isn't so much the criteria to consider when choosing an opening, but rather, you know, now that you maybe know you want to switch to an opening, how do you figure out which one you should do? And it's geared towards adult improvers. So, you know, for people who are at the club level, who are, you know, past maybe the early beginner stage and but not advanced players, the openings that he recommends for people in that category. And I just think it's a really phenomenal video that'll give you some good ideas on which openings you should consider choosing, you know, if and when you decide it's the right time to choose a new opening. I think it's phenomenal. So check out Andras's video as well. I think those two together probably give you all the insights and framework of thinking about it that you would need. Oh, and in case you're curious which Sicilian I chose to play, I have chosen Grandmaster Alex Cholovich's course, The Modern Scheveningen. It's on Chessable. And I'm pairing with that his other course, the Anti-Sicilians course, because, you know, if you're going to learn a Sicilian, you've got to also learn the Anti-Sicilians. I know that's part of the package deal. So I bought his 2 courses on the Sicilian and both of those sides of it to help me learn my new opening. I'm really excited about it. He's a phenomenal teacher, and I'll put a link to that in the show notes as well. It's already just been so much fun. It really has, playing the Sicilian. I've only just just begun. It's like a toe in the water at this point. I've spent hours on it, but it just still feels like a toe in the water. And the games are so different from the French. And it's basically exactly what I was hoping for. And it's really enlivened my experience with playing black in chess. And I definitely get beat easily sometimes because I'm so unfamiliar with these positions and the lines. But at the same time, it's just been so much fun. And I know I'll catch up to being familiar with it soon enough. So that's my story on openings. Okay, for the next part of this episode, I just want to share a little bit about some critical lessons that I've learned from my coaches in the past few months. Some things that are, I think, the areas that are critical for me reaching that next level of skill in chess. And I think I'm at a point now. I've gotten enough skill in chess that, you know, some of the basics are established for me. And I'm at a place where I now need to just always know, what do I have to get better at to get to the next level? And for me, I've identified a few things with my coaches. The first two are from my lessons with Andres. One is that I need to calculate deeper, that's really holding me back. We've evaluated in several games where I have these really good positions, winning positions, or at least very potentially winning positions for myself that I'm able to achieve out of the opening. But my lack of calculation is holding me back from seizing some of those opportunities. And if you want to see in full what I'm talking about, I would go to Andres's channel and see the very first lesson, the video lesson that I have with him on that. And it becomes really clear how that extra level of calculation is necessary for me. And too often I've been like cutting off the analysis after just two moves or so, and it's really hurt me. It's easy to stop short, right, and not push yourself, but I just know now that I have to gradually increase the depth of my calculation if I want to get better. And so that was a really helpful insight. The second thing that I learned from Andres is that I need to play more aggressively and be less defensive minded. I think too often I get into this mindset where I'm like, okay, let me just cover my bases. Let me just make sure my opponent can't do anything against me in this position. And in doing that, I lose these small windows that I have to attack and turn the game in my favor. And I think it's probably just that I've been burned in the past when I haven't covered my bases, and I try, it's easy to make the opposite mistake, right? And turn a blind eye to what your opponent is doing and just focus on what you're doing. But in my case, I've swung too far to the other side of the pendulum where I just try to make sure I have no major holes in my position that my opponent could exploit. Or if they create a threat, I respond to it right away instead of just seeing whether it can be ignored. And that's something Andres has highlighted for me that's really helped me understand a key area in which I need to improve, because that also has been holding me back from improving. And then the third and final coaching insight that I've got is from Dan Heisman, who we did this puzzle in one of our coaching lessons. And in the puzzle, I basically failed the test. The test was to see whether I am considering enough candidate moves when I analyze a position and try to figure out what my next move will be. And the short answer was no. No, I am not considering enough candidate moves. And what I'm doing instead is I'm zeroing in on something that looks really promising and going full depth analysis on it and making sure it cannot be defeated and that it is the opportunity that I think it is. And then I spend all my time on that, and there's no more reasonable amount of time that I have left to consider many other options, or at least with any depth. And then so I just make that move. And so the problem that was identified was that I need to first start with considering several candidate moves, basically beginning with a wider analysis and then going deeper. And that's something that I haven't been doing. And so now I'm trying to discipline myself when I'm at the board and consider those extra candidate moves. I did that. I tried to apply that at the Chicago Open. And I think I did. It's a work in progress, right? Like, you have to build a habit over time. But I think I did start to, in the past few weeks, start to really consider more candidate moves than I had in the past, and then shift to a deeper analysis of them. So that was also critical and really, really helpful for me. And these are just the kind of things that I would never really understand were my weaknesses had I not had these people as coaches or had coaches at all. So it's a testament to that. So those are a few of the key things that I've learned lately. Okay, the third and final topic that I want to discuss is my top challenge that I've had. And I think this is kind of a universal challenge for every serious chess player at some point, which is for some months now, I haven't seen a rating climb. I should have double checked before I started recording this, but I think it's been in the range of 5 to 6 months approximately that I haven't seen a substantial rating improvement. So my most accurate rating right now is still my chess.com rapid rating, which, like I said, is all classical games. And that has hovered around 1500 to 1550. It's stayed in that range. I haven't really gone much past 1550-ish. So, it's been emotionally challenging because, like I said, I put about 3 hours of work in chess every day, 6 or 7 days a week, usually 7 days a week. And to not see a substantial improvement, to not see that work be reflected in any substantial way is very frustrating, for sure. And I know I'm not alone in that. I know I'm not the first chess player to be frustrated by not seeing enough results in their rating. And I've tweeted about this, and you know, I've gotten lots of good advice from people that tell me, you know, it's going to come. Be patient. It's not a linear thing. And I know it's not linear, but it is still hard, right, to work every day for hours and hours and not see progress for maybe close to half a year. And so, you know, you doubt. For me, I don't really doubt my own abilities. I think I'm pretty good about that. But what I wonder is, am I studying the right way? You know, because you do have to say at some point, like, okay, if it's been like 8 years and you haven't seen any rating climb, maybe you should evaluate your study plan, right? So there has to be some upper limit where you say, we need to reevaluate things. I don't think I've reached that point yet. I think what I'm doing is still the right stuff, you know, as recommended by my coaches. So I have faith in it. It's just difficult. It's just difficult emotionally to deal with it. And I don't know if you've been there yet or if you're there right now as you listen to this. But in spite of my frustration, and I'd be totally honest, that is very frustrating, I always have a positive attitude. Like, I believe in my ability to improve ultimately. And I have a positive attitude about the future in general, as well as specifically here with my chess journey, that that improvement will eventually come. And maybe at some point, if it doesn't, I do have to tweak my study plan or something like that. But this is where the lessons that I just talked about that I've gained from my coaches, I think, will be really helpful for me in busting through this plateau. Because the lessons that I shared that they've given me are relatively recent. So it's only about in the past month that I've gained those as major, major new insights. So it's going to take some time for me to make those a habit in my own chess games, to the point where they do start producing results. It's going to take me some months to do that, right? Like changing any thought process would probably require. So the way I would put it is, yes, I've been frustrated. I'm not constantly frustrated. I'm occasionally frustrated by it, but I'm not discouraged because I know the rating will substantially increase eventually, and I will have breakthroughs and I will get better. And I can still feel in other ways that I'm improving. I can tell that I'm learning more about the game. I understand more positional stuff from all the annotated game books that I go through, and my tactics rating is improving, and I'm getting new insights from my coaches. And so I know that in time, all of those things will start producing tangible results. It's just, you know, patience is a challenge, right? But I know it'll come. So if you yourself are in the same spot, hey, you know, DM me on Twitter or you know, if you want to keep it private, or you could just post about it too on Twitter and mention me that we're in that same struggle, but that we'll get through it. We'll see that improvement, you know, as long as we're consistent in our efforts and we make adjustments and tweaks along the way when and where we need to. I have faith that I'll get to a higher rating level and that you will too if you're struggling. So those are my thoughts on that. That's been the biggest challenge. It's not easy. And I think, let me add this too, one other point I want to add about it. I think part of the reason that it's frustrating for me is contextual. So the year that I returned to chess, the first 12 months, I should say, of all of my efforts after I returned to chess to get better and improve, like, it was just steady, steady increase. I improved by about 500 rating points on chess.com Rapid, you know, from about 1,000 to 1,500 in the first 12 months. So that progress was pretty steady. Like, it was a surprise if I didn't improve by a lot in a month. And I think it kind of spoiled me a little bit and maybe altered my expectations or framed my expectations unrealistically for how the rest of the journey would go. And I knew it wasn't going to improve 500 points every year indefinitely, right? Like, it's not true for anybody after a certain amount of years. But I just still thought that progress would be, if not, even if it was slower, that it would still just be regular. Like, at least every 2 or 3 months, you would start to see, you know, a rating climb. And that hasn't been true for me for the past 6 months. So I think, you know, you just get used to seeing that kind of improvement if it goes on for a year. And so it's been a challenge to just shift my mindset and accept that it'll probably never be that fast again. You know, I'm probably, if I have to be honest, probably won't see a 500 point increase in a 12 month period again. And it's because those 500 points are easier to get than the next 500. And that's part of the challenge, I think, is just reframing my expectations and getting used to a different pace. And yet still applying the same level of effort and energy to this process that I did then. You know, I'm not gonna lessen that just because, you know, the tangible results come at a slower pace. So those are my thoughts on that. I hope that just hearing somebody else go through that maybe gives you a little bit of encouragement too. If nothing else, that you're not alone, that other people experience this as well. And, you know, it's just a test, is it not? It's a test of whether we can persist in spite of it. And I think that's part of why I enjoy this whole chess journey so much. It can be just a game, but it can be more than a game too. It can be a test of our character in a good way. And I embrace that and I welcome that as part of the journey to see, you know, how do I handle adversity, right? How do I handle challenges? Who am I when things don't go my way? And I think that that's what this situation is. It's a test of those virtues that hopefully we can express and have. So those are my thoughts on the rating challenges. Again, you know, share with me on Twitter your own thoughts on this. You know, tag me and let me know, and let's stay positive about it. And if you're not going through it right now, hopefully it just gives you a little bit of comfort for the future. If you do run into it, I hope you don't. But if you do, you know, to remember that it happens to all of us. It's part of the journey, and we just got to keep pushing forward. Those are my thoughts on that. I hope it helps you. I hope this episode was enjoyable for you. I haven't done one exactly like this. When I launched this podcast, I had an episode, I think it was episode 2, it was my top 7 lessons that I learned in my first year back to chess. So this episode is somewhat similar to that, except it's not over the past year, it's over the past several months. And I'm hoping that you enjoy hearing me share these types of things every once in a while, because I'm going to test it out, and every few months I'm going to put out a solo episode like this that shares my latest in my journey, my top challenges. If there's some bigger news, so to speak, within my journey, I'll share that as well. And just the lessons that I've gained in that time. Because I am sort of mindful. I try to take big picture looks at the journey and think about what's going on, what's happened, what the future holds, what I'm trying to achieve and how it's going. So hopefully these episodes are something that entertains you and that you get some value from. And let me know your thoughts on this. I hope you enjoyed this episode, and we'll be back with a guest next week. So best wishes in everything that you do with chess. I am supporting you. If you listen to this, I am encouraging you. So feel free to tag me sometimes on Twitter. Let me know what's going on. If it's, you know, if you want me to take note of it, and I will be there to support you and cheer you on as well, because it's tough for everybody and we're all doing our best, right? Okay. See you in the next week's episode. Thanks for listening. This has been a production of my business, Adult Chess Academy. And that has a website with the same name if you want to look for it. You can also find me being way too active on Twitter by searching my username, Lona_chess. See you next week.